There are certain signs of the Christmas season. I don't know what it is for you. I think for me, one of the signs of the season is, Starbucks cups, the holiday cups. Anybody else? Like you go in one day and like it's a regular cup one day, and then the next day it's a holiday cup, and it's this sign of the season. I don't know what it is for you. Like also, like when I was a kid, the sign of the season was the holiday Christmas specials, right? And it meant that like the Peanuts holiday Christmas special was coming on. It meant that I got to stay up past my bedtime and watch some of that. I like the claymation stuff too, like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. That was my favorite. I always had, you know, something like that. I think, maybe today it's a little more secular, but like it's Black Friday, you know, like Black Friday shopping is maybe, I don't know, you guys tell me. Maybe I'm a bad pastor. Joy, do you have something? The Macy's Holiday Parade. Yes, a wonderful. There you go. I mean, this is wonderful stuff. I think yesterday we were decorating our Christmas tree, or at least Kelly and Emma were decorating the Christmas tree, and that's always fun. I was at Costco, if I will be honest, so we divide and conquer on that one. And then watching your favorite Christmas movie. I don't know what it is for you. For us, for me, we watched Elf. Anybody Elf? That's your movie go-to? You know Christmas has come if you've seen Elf. Our new one is Daddy's Home 2. I don't know if that, I know you guys are like, you're like, what is going on at the Hill household? So I think it also for me means bringing out the Hill Christmas playlist, and sometimes those are more contemporary songs. Christmas carols are a big part of the season, and one of the things that we wanted to do this Christmas, our Advent season, we kind of pick a theme every year, and this year it is the carols of Christmas. And what we wanted to do is we wanted to take a look, we wanted to pick four carols that are kind of Christmas standards for us and just kind of walk through them and how they relate the story of Jesus, what we read in the Gospels of the birth of Jesus and how they relate that and how we can kind of find these carols as little companions on our way and throughout our days as we go through this particular season. And so as we do this, what we'll do is we will, each week we'll look at a carol, its story, its words. We'll tell a little bit of the story about how the carol was written and how it was made and the words of it. We'll look in Scripture at how it lines up with the story about Jesus. And then we'll cap things off by actually singing that carol as a response song, as an act of worship. And so we're gonna finish off the whole season with our banner out front, which is Joy to the World, which I feel like is the quintessential Christmas song. Well, the Sunday before Christmas will be Joy to the World. We'll also have, we're going to do We Three Kings, which is not really about kings or three of them, but I like the song anyway. So we'll look at We Three Kings. We'll also do O Holy Night. We'll do that in here. We'll see how Adelie can get her voice. She's taking a little vacation time this week, so Annalise is with us, which is wonderful. And then, but this week we kick it off with one of my favorites, all-time favorites, which is O Come, All Ye Faithful. Anybody? I suppose there's some great, great Christmas songs that are out there, and so I wanted to tell a little bit of the story of O Come, All Ye Faithful, or as it is in my notes, O-C-A-Y-F. O Come, All Ye... So, O Come... A little bit of the history of this, and this is not my forte, so hang with me. I did a little bit of amateur research on O Come, All Ye Faithful, also known originally in Latin as Adeste Fideles, which is Adeste Fideles. The earliest printed version of Adeste Fideles, which is Latin, and the whole hymn was written in Latin, but the earliest version of Adeste Fideles is written in a hymn book published in 1751. So before the Revolutionary War, this hymn was being sung in Latin. And what we find out is that the chorus of this, which was "O come, let us adore him," which is "Venite adoremus." I know you're like all of you Latin scholars out there. Was known, that chorus, O come let us adore him, Venite adoremus Dominum, was known as early as 1542. The chorus is over 500 years old. And so as we sing this song, as we these words, these Latin words are old. They are at least 500 years old. The Latin version had a rich history. You guys are like, I can't believe you're kicking off the Christmas season with the Latin version of O Come All Ye Faithful. Hang with me, everybody. A little bit of this time. So Adeste Fideles, O Come All Ye Faithful, was known in England in the 1700s as the Portuguese hymn because it was sung so often in the embassy, the Portuguese embassy in London. This actually was known as the Portuguese hymn in Latin. And the hymn has actually stood, you don't know how much of a journey that O Come All Ye Faithful has had to make it here. It actually went through some political upheaval. It was actually a fairly controversial hymn or carol. In the hymn, after the English Reformation, when England had reformed from the Catholic Church to the Church of England, and that services were now being in English and not in Latin, that Latin hymns were not very popular. Latin hymns were known as Catholic or Papist in that way. And of course, they were pro-Catholic or pro-papacy, and that Latin hymns were kind of looked down on in the Church of England. And this hymn actually was rumored to have little phrases that were rallying cries for the pro-Catholic, anti-Anglican factions in England, the Jacobites. You historians out there, of course, you know, you're like, oh yeah, the Jacobites. So yeah, there, after the English Reformation, there were some that wanted to go back to Roman Catholicism, and they would sing this hymn as kind of an anthem. So the fact that it actually made it is a testament to not only the words and the content, but to the actual tune of the hymn. It actually made it through quite a bit. So regardless of politics, Adeste Fideles, as the kids would say today, was kind of a banger. All right, that didn't go as well as I thought. But here's the deal. So because it was in Latin, there were lots of attempts, and people loved the hymn. There were lots of attempts to translate the hymn, and these are some of the opening lines. And I'm not just making this stuff up. These are actually opening lines of the attempt to translate Adeste Fideles. And so once is come faithful all, okay, I know, or ye faithful approach ye. You got to wonder, okay, be present ye faithful. These are actual translations of the hymn. Approach ye faithful, come hither ye faithful, I kind of like that. Be present ye faithful, draw near ye faithful, or my favorite, kind of a Marvel-esque, assemble ye faithful. Okay, Avengers. All right, thank you very much. But it was the Catholic priest, Frederick Oakley, in 1841, who penned the translation, O Come, All Ye Faithful, 1841. It was printed in a hymnal in 1852, where it became a standard hymn in the English-speaking world in the form that we know it today. So it's old even as English, it is old. In Latin, it's even older. To give a sense of the enduring popularity of this carol, how much this is one of the Christmas season standards, for the last 200 years, when the Pope celebrates Christmas Eve midnight mass in the Vatican, in St. Peter's Cathedral, the final carol and hymn that everyone sings and they walk out to is O Come All Ye Faithful, Adeste Fideles. And so if you love O Come All Ye Faithful, you are not alone. It is a standard, it is beautiful, it brings us into the season, it sends us out. There's a couple things to note about Adeste Fideles, O Come All Ye Faithful. There are actually 8 verses traditionally to this hymn. If you look in your bulletin, the text of the hymn is in your bulletin. Really, only 3 of the verses are really well known. 5 of them are fairly obscure. If you look at verse 2 in your bulletin, which is God of God, light of light, lo, he abhors not the virgin's womb, that's a little obscure. You might not know that one, okay? Anyway, but it does fit. So we at the end will sing verse 1, verse 3, and verse 4, and of course there is the refrain to this whole thing. So 8 verses of O Come All Ye Faithful, 5 of which we might not be able to sing very well today, but 3 of them are very well known. The thing about this hymn is it has a couple of unusual features. 1, no rhymes, everybody. I don't know if you see it, but there's no rhymes in O Come All Ye Faithful, which gives a little bit more of the testament to the actual quality of the words of the hymn. Oftentimes it's rhymes that keep us coming back to songs. The other thing about O Come All Ye Faithful is that it is in an irregular meter. O come all ye. Okay, you get the idea. Like, it's an irregular meter. And so the fact that this has stood the test of time, I think, is actually a testament to the chorus, to the refrain. And we're going to come back to that, but the refrain, Venite adoremus Dominum, O come, let us adore him, is probably what cemented the hymn as a perennial. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. It's memorable, it's singable, and it's worshipful. And it provides the backdrop to the birth of Jesus in Luke. And so after talking a little bit about the hymn, let's open up and look at Luke chapter 2. And let's see how this carol helps to point us to the story of Jesus in Luke chapter 2. I was thinking about doing that in Latin, everybody, but it was enough to just sing a cappella out loud in front of you all. That's okay. That's why we do this together. So, O Come All Ye Faithful in Luke chapter 2. In verse 1 of O Come All Ye Faithful, where it says, O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come ye to Bethlehem, come and behold him, born the King of angels. Verse 1 parallels Luke chapter 2, 8 through 12. And I'll read a little bit of this. In chapter 2, 8, it says, in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, which Esterah read for us, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. The angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. We're actually beginning our Christmas season on the day of Jesus' birth, right? The Advent is coming. But then this is where the verse parallels, 2:11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, right? This is the actual wording of the hymn. And then in verse 12, this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And there were suddenly with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. So the hymn invites us also as God's faithful people to Bethlehem, like the shepherds, to adore Christ the Lord. O come all ye faithful, joyful, triumphant. Come ye, come to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. And this is really the invitation of the shepherds. Look down in 2:15. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go. I suppose it would be interesting if the hymn was called, Let's Go, All Ye Faithful. Right? And that's a little bit more biblically accurate. Like, let's go. Let's go. Let's go, all ye faithful. Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Joyful, I mean, if the angels had revealed something to you, you would be joyful. There would be triumph to what you, I just heard from the Lord, let's go. Come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. And so this hymn starts out right in the middle of Scripture, right in the middle of this passage. Verse 2, if you look in your bulletin, is kind of weird. Now, it wouldn't be weird if you were Catholic, because every week in Roman Catholic Mass, you say the Nicene Creed. And all of these lines are from the Nicene Creed, or at least part of the Nicene Creed. So like where it says, God of God, light of light, that's straight from the Nicene Creed. The Nicene Creed, written from the Council of Nicaea, was about identifying who Jesus was, who he was and who he wasn't. The truth about Christology. And so, God of God, light of light. It says, lo, he abhors not the virgin's womb. Lo, he abhors not the virgin's womb. Okay, there you go. It fits, right? So for those keeping score at home, these are countering two heresies, a Gnostic heresy, which says that Jesus was not human, not fully human, and the Arian heresy that said Jesus was not fully God. And so the fact that he does not abhor the virgin's womb says that he becomes entirely human, and the fact that he is very God begotten, not created, that counters the Arian heresy. All right, is that enough of that? Let's go on to the next verse. Okay, you guys get the idea. Like, this is not one of the verses that you might know on the Johnny Mathis Christmas album. By the way, Johnny Mathis, everybody. Yes, Johnny Mathis. I was trying to explain Johnny Mathis to my children, and they did not get it. But Johnny Mathis, everybody, every good Christian should have some kind of recording of Johnny Mathis on some Christmas playlist. That's just my opinion. Come at me. Okay, that's okay. Okay, so verse 3 brings us back to Luke chapter 2. Verse 3 says this, sing choirs of angels, sing in exaltation, sing all you citizens of heaven above, glory to God in the highest, all glory in the highest. And that's Luke 2:13. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is well pleased. We might feel like we might tap out for angels we have heard on high at that point, right? Because you have gloria. Great, right? But no, little known fact, oh, come all ye faithful, covers that ground, okay? Which is one of the reasons why we're not doing angels we have heard on high. And again, it's also a long word, gloria. Okay. All right, which is also Latin, everybody. Okay, we're getting there. Okay, I appreciate the levity here. Okay, so as the hymn says, a couple of corrections to O Come All Ye Faithful and the translation of that we have in English. It says, sing choirs of angels, and that has made many people, when it talks about the heavenly host, to think that a host of heaven was a choir of angels. A host of heaven is actually an army of angels. When it says a host of angels shows up, it is an army of angels. And this is probably because there was a guy on earth at the time, Caesar, who claimed to be the Lord. And when there's a human on the earth who says, I am Lord, God shows up with an army to say, I have something to say about that. I have a real king, and he is here. He will not come in on a war horse. He is going to be vulnerable and in a manger. Because that's how I roll with my armies. They sing. My armies sing. So this is an angelic, it's not an angelic choir, it's an angelic army who happens to sing. Which is pretty cool. That's pretty cool. So that if all armies would sing, I think we would be in better shape. Right? All right. So, not an angel choir, an angel army, an army of angels singing. So verse 4 then, we continue with the shepherds in Luke 2:16. Look at 2:16. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And so the carol goes, yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory given. And then it pulls from John chapter 1. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Yeah, a few things about this carol that as I think about this carol, that I, as we enter into this Christmas season, O Come All Ye Faithful is so significant to me. I think the refrain is what really nails it for me that we read, O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Venite adoremus Dominum. That as we sing that, we're singing 500-year-old words. But a couple of the words that stand out, and if you don't, like, if you're like me and you don't know Latin, I have no idea what Latin is. I can't read it. I just know enough on the internet to pretend I know something about Latin. But in Latin, if you look at the hymn, there are a few words that are repeated over and over and over in a sea of words. There's one word that stands out, and it is the word venite, which means all y'all come. It's a second person plural direct address. Come. And it's addressed to you all, not just to you or you, all of you. Come. Come, all faithful. All the faithful, come. Oh, come, it's an invitation. And I think as we enter into this Advent season, it's an invitation, and it's an invitation that's repeated over and over and over. Some have noted the tune's repetition enforce a sense of urgency. That as you sing the hymn, the Portuguese hymn, why was it sung so much in the Portuguese embassy in London? There was this sense, this repetition, come, 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 come. It's like a child tugging at you at Christmas time. Let's go, let's go, let's go. It's time. When do we open presents? Like there's this sense of urgency that comes out of, oh, come, all ye faithful. Come, let us adore him. Come, let's adore him. Come, let's adore him. Christ the Lord. And maybe even as we sing this, we can imagine someone tugging on us saying, come, let's go, let's do this. I think sometimes on our worst days, if you've got that critical voice in your head or you've done something that you're ashamed of, or there's something that is just, there's some barrier between you and God, on our worst days, we might wonder if that invitation even applies anymore. And sometimes we forget, come, like we want, it's for everybody else. Everybody else is invited to come, but today I just don't feel like I'm invited to come. Or maybe after a season of disillusionment with God, he has not shown up in the way we had hoped he would. Disappointment with God. That there's a felt sense of distance. No one who has faith in Jesus is immune to these moments of doubt or weakness. And sometimes the enemy really jumps in moments like that, in moments of weakness, in moments of grief, in moments where our guard is down the most, in the valley of the shadow where we are down and we wonder, and the enemy gets in there and says, you don't belong here. This Christmas carol is going to say over and over and over, come, you belong here. We just recorded this podcast with my friend Danny Kurame and Pete Shambrick. We were talking about the miraculous gifts. And Danny was sharing this story about how he was sitting up front, and there had been somebody who was coming and visiting, and he just got this sense from the Lord that he should go back and tell this person, you belong here. And so he gets up, kind of weird, if the pastor gets up and starts talking to people like in the middle of the worship service, like you wonder what's going on. But as Danny recalls the story, and you can listen to the podcast, it's on our website, but it's just a beautiful, he goes back and he tells this person, hey, I think the Lord is telling me to tell you that you belong here. And this guy just breaks down in a puddle of tears. Because at the very moment he was wondering, man, I don't belong here. Look at all these people. I don't belong in this place. This isn't for me. And through the Holy Spirit, through someone, their word for someone else, just this confirmation, come, all ye faithful, you belong here. And on those days where you feel weak and you don't feel like you belong here, you don't feel like you belong with God, you don't feel like the invitation is for you, you feel like the invitation is for everybody else but you, 500-year-old words are here, written by someone in the Middle Ages, someone in Latin who knew the heart of God to say, venite adoremus, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. That invitation is for you. I think just in this Christmas season, as we go through this, the one word I just want on your hearts is just this idea of the invitation, come. If you've been here for any amount of time, you've heard me say this. God rejoices that you come to him. No matter how forgetful you may have been throughout your day, God always rejoices that you come to him. When the disciples asked Jesus, hey, how should we pray? He said, when you think about praying, when you think about going to God, think about going to a father. Just think about how different it would have been if Jesus says, hey, when you think about going to God, think about going to a judge. Our judge who art in heaven, right? Or when you think about the inapproachable creator of all things. Oh, inapproachable creator of all things. No, when you pray, say, Father, because you need to know God rejoices that you come no matter how forgetful you may have been, no matter how tired you are, no matter how burnt out you are, the Father is going to embrace you. The Father is going to gather you. The Father is going to listen to you. Come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. The invitation to come to God is not to the unapproachable God of all light, but to the God who is revealed in the most vulnerable and humble state, which is where we are in our weakest moments, in our hardest moments, in our most doubtful moments, in a moment of weakness, humble, not triumphant and powerful, but a baby who didn't even have enough of a blanket. It had to be cloths. So this hymn is just a relentless invitation. Sometimes we need a relentless invitation. You guys might have friends that are relentless inviters. They're always inviting you, always inviting, always inviting you. This is what that hymn is. So come. The shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. Come, let us adore him. So that's the first thing. As we go into this Christmas season, I just want you always to remember the invitation to come. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you. I will give you rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Jesus also says, anyone who's thirsty, let him come. Come to me, all who are thirsty. In the book of Revelation, anyone who wants to buy the food that gives life, come, it is free. Come. Come, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, come. The second word in this hymn that's repeated over and over and over, if the first is come, the second is adore. Venite adoremus, adore. Adoremus is translated adore, let us adore, but in Latin the verb means more than simply our idea of adoring someone. It actually means the idea of honoring someone. Come, let us honor him. Come, let us worship him. Adoremus means let us worship. And so in our hymn, come, let us adore him, is really saying, come, let us worship him. Come, let us honor him. The chorus itself lends us to this sort of worship. And there have been additions in these recent years, and I asked Annalise to sing them as we come to this, come, let us adore him. To add in, for he alone is worthy. We give you all the glory. I think in most recent years, these kind of tack-ons, these add-ons, these tabs that come on to come let us adore him, come let us adore him, are so worshipful. It's such a wonderful, worshipful song. And this tune has stood the test of time. So as we enter this Advent season, 2025, we're going to begin with a simple invitation. I'll invite Annalise to come on up. But the simple invitation, come. One of the other things about this hymn, just musically, no rhyme, no, weird meter, but one of the reasons why it stood the test of time, which as I was reading on some of these hymnal sites, is that it is entirely singable. It's written for people who can't sing, which is probably why I love it so much. But it's written, it is, some hymns are written, like when we sing O Holy Night, like you got to have a range, right? You got to hit the high note to go all around. This hymn is just so accessible. And so for us to enter into this season, I just think the way God would have us do it with an accessible song to sing that says the most basic things to us, which is the invitation, come and just let us worship Christ the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for sending your son, Jesus. We thank you for your Spirit who comes after the death and resurrection of Jesus, the ascension of Jesus. And now we can lift our voices and we can actually say, yes, we will come. Come, let us adore him. For he alone is worthy. And we give you all the glory, Jesus. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.